So we are like 100% we can go.
Yeah.
Recording.
Yeah.
Dane Drake, Legends of the Cimarron.
Yeah,
is it pronounced Cimarron? I want to call it Cameroon for some reason.
I know. That last podcast, we talked about it. You talked about it.
Where do we want to start? Okay, well, we can cut this out. But do you want to put your information out there, like where you're at?
Oh,
in Oklahoma,
it don't matter.
Like,
I mean, it's on my Facebook and stuff, so it really don't matter.
Technically, what town do you say you're out of?
Well, Gate, a little town called Gate.
Gate, Oklahoma.
Yeah,
it's pretty close. Sounds like Gay Oklahoma. Just saying.
This is the gateway to the Panhandle, man.
I thought you were gonna go a different direction from that. So, man, I'm getting like a weird sound. Is it sound all right on your end?
Yeah.
So, Legends of Cimarron Outfitters. First and foremost, where's the Cimarron come from?
Well, my family ranch is the Cimarron River runs right through the middle of it.
And it's funny you mention that river.
Yeah. Yeah. We spent some time in it, haven't we? But no, it runs right through the middle of the ranch. And, you know, I don't know. Just...
Sound like a good name?
Kind of like a good name. You know, it really did. That's where I grew up doing all my hunting and stuff and killed some pretty good deer on it. And killed one in particular deer that was kind of a legend in our area. So that's why I went with that.
Fair enough. I mean, what is it with you people having cool names and shit? Then, like, you know, can you make up a good story to tell it?
Well, I could make up a good story. I can tell you the real story. But it's going to be a lot of name dropping and it might go south.
You're also the mayor of every small town in that part of Oklahoma.
I don't know. I just know a lot of people, you know, and people know, a lot of people know me.
Fitzy, I swear to God, it don't matter where we go up there. Well, hey, dang, like this son of a bitch knows everybody. So I call him the mayor. He's the fucking mayor.
Oh.
You just need to change your name, mayor. Like, you just run for fucking mayor. I mean, literally knows everybody. I guess we can go in chronological order. Did you grow up there in that same general area?
Well, no. I went to Sports Supply when I was till 8th grade. My mom was a basketball coach. And we moved from Fort Supply to a town called Kingfisher, which is close to Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. But I'm the fifth generation rancher out there. My granddad, you know, had been my great great granddad, Dude Sutherland, came out there. Well, I end up working my way back out to the ranch at an older age. And you know, always out there as a kid, you know, branding calves, doing all the spring works and stuff, just helping granddad. And I just loved going out there. And so I just found my way back out there. And after I went through several different career choices before I got there.
Yeah. What, you know, about what year was that?
Oh, I've been out there since 2005, probably. Yeah.
So, I mean,
Four.
At what point did... So, that's... y'all's ranch is like a... Would you call it a working cattle ranch?
Yes.
I don't know what the correct verbiage is.
Yeah. We actually ranch our ranches around there.
Yeah. That ain't real ranch. So... It's a working cattle ranch. Well, for anybody that's listened to the podcast, if you watch some of our most recent videos, I probably should have said this first. If you watch some of our most recent coyote hunting videos on the Texas Predator Hunting YouTube channel, a lot of that pretty country is out there where you guide at and where you hunt at and all that stuff.
Right.
It is some absolute, it's like, you know, some of the stuff's like, oh, it's pretty, but some of that country out there is absolutely gorgeous. Like,
right.
It's fucking beautiful country. And it don't seem like, man, it just sounds weird today. It don't seem like, some of them places don't even seem like you're in Oklahoma.
Right.
Like yeah. Some of it looks like Kansas. Hell, some of it looks like some of this stuff out here. Well, not this spot, but
right.
General area. There's some places up there that looks like freaking Colorado. But it is beautiful country. So 2005, you got back into ranching and all that stuff.
Ranching.
You got back into ranching. At what point did you, it seems as if, the more I ride around with Mayor Dane here, that a lot of the ranchers get supplemental income from some sort of guiding activity.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people that lease and hunt land out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually leased the ranch, the hunting part of it, in 98 when mm-hmm. I was a senior in high school. Just didn't like a lot of things that were the guy that had it and didn't like some things that were going on, and went to my granddad and he just kind of laughed and he knew I couldn't afford it, and then I found a way and leased it, and I've leased it ever since.
Right.
So, and just, you know, our family deal there, 7,000 right. acres or so.
At what point did you like decide to start guiding?
Well, I always wanted to do it. I mean, it's always been, I mean, remember when I was younger, my granddad asked me, what would you do if this was your ranch? Well, I told him I'd guide deer hunts during the winter and run a dude ranch in the summer. Well, come to find out, guiding deer hunts kind of like running a dude ranch. So I just got to deer hunts.
Right.
And, but it wasn't until 2000 and, well, shoot, I've been, Loco's been 8 years now. Mm-hmm. But I'd always lease a little bit of ground here and there and sublease it out. I was mad at deer. I liked bow hunting. And I'd always retain, you know, like I'm part of the lease.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had a big deer on there, I could go after him. And then finally, I just, some life changes in right. at the house and needed a little supplement of my income a little bit. So I started this and just blew up, just took off. Like I mean, never dreamed of it, you know, up right. to as much acres I got now and the clientele. Just, I didn't think it would get as big. Didn't plan right. on it getting as big.
Right.
You know?
So how many, when you first started out, was just whitetail?
Yeah, just whitetail, you know? And a mule deer hunt. Like I would do literally like, you know, when I would do three whitetail hunts basically, you know, and if it turned into a mule deer hunt, it did, you know?
Right.
And that was like, that was my first year. Next year I picked up like a little ranch next to me and I did five hunts and got a phone call from some guys that got my number somehow that they had a ranch here in Texas that they were a guided hunt and it fell through for them. And, they want to know if I had anything. And this is after Thanksgiving, our second rifle season. And I said, no, I don't. And they're like, man, well, whatever it costs. I've got a group of guys, eight of us. We need to do something. And I won't overshoot my deer.
Right.
And I got on the phone. And, man, I leased every little 80 acres out. Every little thing that I knew nobody hunted, CRP, but I knew there's deer around there, just ungodly stuff that people drive by and don't want to think about hunting. And told them guys, said, hey, I got it. This is what I got. And they said, we're in. You know, they did all their own food and everything. Those eight guys, we went 8 for 8. We killed like a 177 6x6, killed a 190 mule deer. I mean, it was stupid. I mean, right. it was stupid shit. It shouldn't have happened. You right. know, I mean, I put a pile of corn out 2 days later, fucking 175 inch deer standing on it, you know.
Right.
And that just, after that, I'm like, shit, this is easy, you know. Yeah, let's go.
Do you still say that?
No, shit, no. It's far from easy. You know, I kind of, you know, 4 years ago, myself, what I would tell myself, you know, I pride myself in finding deer where nobody else can find these deer. And I go kill right. them in little shithole pockets, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, shit, where are those shithole pockets at? You know, right. I mean, I can't try to find them deer, you know.
Yeah.
But we're pretty successful. Our kill rate's really too high, you know. I mean, I want everybody to kill a deer.
Right.
And my guides are the same way, you know. Yeah. They worked their ass off.
So this last season, how many guides did you have working for you?
You know, I have during Oklahoma, because, you know, we got a 2-week season there. So, yeah. And you know what our country's like. I can't just like stack bow hunters and just, you know, we got to pay for that shit in 2 weeks. And so, I mean, I had like 12 guys working at the same time. You know, these guys take their vacation. You know, it's their, you know, and it's their Christmas money, you know. Yeah. And they come out and I will have to say this, that I put my guys up against anybody because they work their butts off. And, I mean, and they want them guys to kill.
Yeah.
You know, and, they, you know, my customers, they love them. I mean, they, you know, it's turned into, you know, when you come in to see me, you know, I mean, going out there on vacations and stuff, it's been pretty cool. So
as far as, I mean, you also do some stuff in Texas as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what all species are you offering nowadays?
Well, just, I mean, whitetails and mule deer. You know, mm-hmm. Now we will shoot an odd ad, every now and then. It's kind of a, hey, dude, where you at? You know, I know you want one of these. I got one. and then we'll do some pig hunts and stuff. Mm-hmm. The quail hunting side of things, one of my landowners, he does it, and he guides quail hunts, and I don't mess with it, you know. Because as soon as deer season's over with,
right,
I'm fucking done. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, my phone, it goes like crazy, and I just want to turn it off and just go call coyotes and
right.
screw off, you know. Right. I mean, go hunt for myself, because I don't deer hunt anymore. You know, I ain't right. killed a deer in 12 years.
So as far as like the, you know, your setup, are you looking to expand it more?
No.
Like, are you kind of happy where you're at? Or, you know, what's the
I'm happy where plans? I'm at. I mean, it's I like maybe to be a little bit smaller. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's always like, and that neighbor shit's fucking good. You know, and then you know you beg for it, then the neighbor calls you, and I'll take it. You know,
mm-hmm.
next thing you know, you got another neighbor. You know, and it's just got. I mean, it just you can get too big. I mean, right. I float around from camp to camp so I can meet with hunters that want to bullshit with me and stuff. Cause you know, I've known them since I started, just little packages, you know, groups of guys and those groups get bigger and my time with them gets smaller. So, mm-hmm. you know, so I think, you know, they offer up a good hunt, you know, they got to see the, you know, like my brother, you know, my brother, when he's there, it's golden. You know, I mean, I can just chill out cause he's going to help take care of things, but this year his job, he couldn't, so he was gone. And I mean, you can talk about, I didn't realize how much stress he took off of me, but from going and shaking hands and, you know, bullshitting mm-hmm. people. And this year it hit, and I'm like, ah, damn. I mean, where's he at? You know, and,
right.
And you know, he had 3 days, and I sent him to way out in the panhandle, and gave him the toughest job of anybody. I mean, there's 3 fucking deer in the whole county out there, and he's trying to find them. You know,
right.
So.
So as far as it pertains to, like, when someone books a hunt with you, what does that look like? Like, take me to the process.
Oh, just 5-day. Everything's 5-day. Fully guided, all your meals, lodging, you know. And used to be like, hey, like, let me send a deposit. I'm like, no, don't send that shit because I'll fucking... You know, in August, I'll blow it on entry fees to go to a team rep. You know, I mean, like, I don't send that shit. I need that for corn in
right.
October, you know. And now anymore, it's kind of, yeah, go ahead and send me that deposit. Just, I've grown up a little bit since then.
Right.
And too many hunters have, you know, the day before season, hey, man, I can't fucking make it. All of a sudden, you're like, what the hell, you know.
So, I mean, as far as your clientele nowadays, like, if someone does cancel on you, I'm sure it happens every year. Yeah. How hard is it to like pick up the phone and find somebody fill that spot?
It's you know, it's not hard. I mean, I mean, there's a waiting list, but literally 2 years ago, one of the main reasons why me and you're sitting here, I mean, I had got 2 guys that are on mule deer hunt that are blowing me up all the time, going to Texas on a mule deer hunt. And it's, you know, Wednesday, I send them a message like, hey, this is the pen you're going to, nothing. Thursday, nothing. Friday, nothing. I'm like, what the hell? I can't get a hold of these guys. They won't answer the phone. Deer season opens tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they hadn't paid deposit. They ain't paid shit. And I just put it out there, and your brother, you know,
yeah.
he just reached out to me, and I'll take it. You know,
yeah.
he's on his way to go hunt another deer, and he went out there, him and his son. So that's pretty lucky. I got
right.
lucky as shit.
Right.
I mean, that's not going to happen again.
Right.
know? But if, you know, if I get a 2-week notice, hell yeah, I can book it. You know?
Right.
You know, but if I got it, you know, like I said, 24 hours, fuck, it's hard.
Yeah. So as far as, you know, I can't, you know, this place is 7,000-8,000 acres of management by town and everything else, and don't have to guide a whole lot. The amount of anxiety it causes me having a guide, like wanting them to get a shot at something, I can't imagine how it'd feel like with a full-on guide service. Especially with whitetail, especially with limited season, especially with, you know, typical hunts 5 days. I mean, I guess it'd be a little bit easier with the guides and everything else. But as far as, you know, getting, how do you run stuff? Like, do you run your cameras year round? Do you just start them at a certain time, just see what's there, and then kind of get a guesstimate of what you're going to sell? Or you just, you know, how do you? What's the process?
Well, we're usually, I mean, start running cameras from August. You know, some spots, obviously, I'll run them earlier. If I got a deer that I I want to find that I know from year to year. I'll do that. But, you know, I usually hire a kid every year that wants to, you know, out of college, out of high school, whatever. Most time it's out of high school, you know. So I'll have them come out and they get the job, corn bitch. You know, that's what they do. that's their handle, you know. Yeah. So, and, you know, they'll start, we'll start running corn, start running cameras, and go check tree stands where we do have tree stands, which we don't hunt out of tree very often. Mostly pop-up blinds. And we'll just start popping blinds up where, in our first season's muzzleloader season, and we'll start popping blinds up and where we got our deer we want to kill in our areas. I like to hunt outside in, you know, a lot of times. I don't like, you know, I want to kill that deer before my neighbor kills that deer. I'm that guy, you know. You know, if he feeds corn, I'm going to feed fucking more. I'm him, you know. So we always try to kill the outside in. And
wait, what the fuck does that mean?
Well, I mean, my edges and my edges, edges of my all my properties.
Oh, okay.
You know, gotcha. So if I got a neighbor on the other side of the fence and hunts, and I got one target buck here, I'm not going to, I mean, I don't like to hold that deer unless he's just special and I don't think they're going to kill him. You know, if he's that, you know, just that mid-range buck that we're after, but mature, we'll go ahead and try to kill him early, you know, in that first muzzleloader season. And then we just work our way to the middle, you know, and we're the less, keep less pressure we can on the interior of our properties we can.
Right.
And, but cutting back to, like, putting up blinds and stuff, you know, when you said my guides, well, my guides, you know, they don't get there till Friday before a lot of them. They know the country, but, and they know where the blinds are going to be, you know. But it's, there's nothing worse than, we got a group text that, you know, the opening morning, guide's walking a guy into the blind, and group text, he goes, be nice if there's a fucking chair in here. You know, I mean, it happens all the time, you know. But I've been pretty fortunate. I got good guy, kids that help me, you know. And a lot of them went on to start their own deal, you know, and I'll push hunters to them. You know, Cooper Long, good friend, good kid, worked for me since he's 15 years old, you know. He started his own outfitting deal. And he'll be very successful. I mean, the kid works his ass off and knows what he's doing. You know?
So as far, I mean, when y'all start running cameras and everything else, you just, you know, constantly checking cameras and everything else and seeing, you know, how do you know how many, like, do you just base off your cameras alone or glass and whatnot to know how many bucks you can actually sell or...
Well, or, you know, everything's by the acre in our country. It's not by the deer. You know, I wish I could do it by the deer, you know, but it's by the acre. So I've got to have a certain number of hunts to pay for our shit, you know.
Yeah.
So we've been lucky to have a lot of my clientele pretty high end guys now, you know. So they're not going to go shoot that 155 inch 3-year old 5x5 walks in, you know. Right. So I know we're going to have that mature deer unless, you know, have a kill off or something. I mean, this shit's going to happen. It has happened. You know, I mean, I find deadheads all the time that we're waiting for the next year. But to answer that question, I got to sell so many hunts, you know, and we try to do like one hunt per 15 to 2,000 acres, you know. Right. So you know, obviously in our country, you got them spots that the deer density's fucking crazy. And then you got spots over here that have 10 deer, you know, but we don't just camp out in that high density deal. We try to kill deer away from that, you know. So
right. So it's just, you know, have sense of being in a good area, you just know about how many hunts you can sell a year.
Right.
And you do y'all ever like, if you got a monster on camera, is that gonna be worth more money, or you just sell everything same price, or you know?
I you know, we don't have no trophy fees.
Okay.
You know, it's a question that gets brought up, you know.
Right.
There are guys that pull you off to the side and say, hey, man, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, if I got a 9-to-5 job and I'm saving every amount of money to go on my once in a lifetime fucking guided hunt, I want the same opportunity as that some bitch that's getting mailbox money that's coming out here, you know.
Right.
So I just, you know, I will say that I do have hunters that I can call and say, hey, man, I need couple guys to book here, and I gotcha, you know. And I got hunters that can call and say, hey, I need guys to book here, and they're like, I don't know nobody, you know.
Right.
Well, you know, there are some guys that they might get a hunt an extra day if they're not killed one, you know. You know they're always scratching my back, you know.
Right.
But I'm not going to sugarcoat it and have, I'm not going to just put them in the, Got one guy that does hunt the honey hole all the time that he likes, but he knows how to get there. I don't got to fuck with him. He can go take himself and he'll guide himself, and we just leave him alone, you mm-hmm. know? So he does get to hunt a pretty good spot, but.
Yeah. So it's more of like a, because I mean, most people think of guided hunts and everything else. They think of, probably think of Texas like high fence. They know exactly what's there. They know exactly what you're going after. This is more of a low fence experience for all those people out there, like, high fence. Low fence experience. You're just, I mean, obviously there's big goddamn deer out there.
Right.
And I think that's probably why it draws so many people in, that part of it. You know, Oklahoma's the sleeper state and all that shit. But pretty good chance if it's mature deer, it's going to be a really nice deer.
Right.
You know,
And those guys, I don't like having to, you guys get calling me, May, hey man, send me pictures, come on, dude. I mean,
piss off.
Yeah, hey, send me $1,000 worth of batteries, and we'll start running some shit, But and guys like, I'm fixing to hunt this stand, what's in here? Well, I'll explain to him what's in there. If I got a big deer, a young deer, in an area where I don't trust this guy or whatever, we just won't fucking hunt there.
Right.
If I don't want that deer killed, I'm not going to give anybody the chance. I don't want,
Yeah, especially out there where they're big bodied and everything else. Like, especially, if you're not accustomed to it whatsoever. I mean, for all intents and purposes, y'all's mature deer look like goddamn yearling steers.
Right.
Like, I can see where out here it's ways to tell when something's super young.
Yeah.
Out there, I can see where it'd get very confusing in a hurry. And that's just a big part of the guiding and managing and everything else is making sure you're not shooting the goddamn little ones.
Sure.
But,
we screw up, man. I put a guy on a deer this year from a long ways away, and I knew it was this deer we was after, and we missed him in muzzleloader season. It was the last day of office season. I'm like, let's fucking go. We're going to go kill him. And we hauled ass up there, and all of a sudden, doe pops over a hill, and the deer's on his ass, and I said, kill him, and he thumped him, and I walked up there, shit, that's not him. So I ain't gonna lie, it happens to me just as much as, it happens to everybody. That's what the rifle's good for.
So y'all have, talk about the season for a minute, y'all have, what is it, 2 weeks of muzzleloader, 2 weeks of bow, and then 2 weeks of rifle?
Or our muzzleloader season is 9 days, and it's the Saturday before Halloween every year,
Mm-hmm.
So that's when it opens. And then, so it's 9 days. So our rifle season opens a Saturday before Thanksgiving, and it runs through Thanksgiving, the next weekend, the weekend after that. So what is that shit? 14 days, 15 days, how it runs. But anyway, then our bow season opens. So it all opens October 1st. It runs all the way to January 15th.
Yeah.
You can shoot one all the way to January 15th of bow.
How many archery hunters do you usually have?
Too many.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll run five or six or something like that, and we'll find fucking two deer. Yeah. Everybody's got a raven and wants to shoot 150 yards with it. We had nine guys 2 years ago, and we slung eight arrows and picked up two deer. And I'm like,
bow hunting.
Yeah. I walked into camp, and the last guy sitting there, day left, and I said, hey, I'm going to prorate. You've hunted 4 days. You haven't killed. I'm going to write you a check back for the last day if you just stay here and watch fucking TV. I'm like, done with this shit. And he started laughing. He knew what I was talking about. But he comes on a rifle hunt with me, too. Jaw North. He's a good kid.
When you, during rifle season or anything like that, at any point, do you ever make these people shoot targets before they actually go get set in sand?
Yeah.
I would make it a must.
We do shoot, We do shoot, which this year we did lose a couple gun deer that we normally don't, but the cover's so thick. I think deer dead, you just couldn't find them. I mean, the grass was so tall. But we do, we do shoot. We got a little deal there at the lodge and make everybody shoot and
have you ever had anybody just like, you can't hunt?
Maybe, yeah.
You can't go.
Well,
here's your money back.
Yeah. The common question I do get on a phone call, like, guys, what gun should I bring? I'm like, you can bring anything you get the most confidence in but a 308. Because I have more shit runoff. It's always the offside.
Oh! Get some!
Well, I do. Because they always, everybody thinks you're fucking Chris Kyle and they're going to reach out there to shoot something, and they always shoot underneath of them and they blow the offside leg off at the knee. It is crazy.
308.
Yeah. But it does. I mean, it is, Nolan Galloway good friend of my one of my first clients, one of them, first deer he shot, 308, crippled him. And he's like, that deer ain't dead. That ain't deer dead. And he's right. That deer wasn't dead. I got pictures of him in January. And I mean, it was just like a skeleton with like set of horns on his head. I mean, he winter killed. And I sent him pictures of him, you know. Like, you didn't kill him. But because you draw blood, you're done. Our hunt's done. I mean, you're hunting that deer, you know. So after that, you know, he goes and gets him like two or three custom rifles built and shoots a lot better.
I would 100%. I probably wouldn't be very successful, but 100% for they got to go hunting. You'd have to show me that you can shoot a reasonable group and a reasonable yardage that right. I was going to make you shoot to.
Right.
And if you couldn't, I'd just be like, well, we'll sit here until you can, and then you can go hunt.
Right. I mean, all my stuff's like 150 yards. I don't try to make it where they have to shoot long ways. But,
right.
I mean, it's our muzzleloader season. And a lot of guys shoot them high-end muzzleloaders and think they can shoot them just like the guy that builds them. And mm-hmm. Not so much, you know. It doesn't work that way, yeah. You know. But, you know, the muzzleloaders, I want to put those guys back that's like 75 yards, at, you yeah. know, with them smoke poles.
Oh, I would.
They're like, hey, I'm shooting a $15,000 muzzleloader. I mean, I could shoot this thing 600 yards. I mean, no, you can't.
Show me.
Yeah, right. So
let's go range.
Yeah. So we always, everybody's like 150 yards.
What is your least favorite season of them all?
Rifle season.
You hate rifle season?
Oh, shoot. Why? I mean, it's like anything. I mean,
more people wound them. Like,
no, I like rifle season with my guys, you know, with me. It's I like all the other rifle hunters that come out right. there, you know, I mean, they're just like pumpkin patches everywhere. I mean, we got to wear orange, you know? So, I mean, just people everywhere. Just like, shit, you know, all these deer dying, you know? I mean, it's like, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a big fan of big deer. And, you know, when I pull up on somebody, he's got like three mule deer bucks in the back of their pickup and their four corns and a spike, you know, it just crawls all over me and I
yeah.
have a hard time keeping my mouth shut.
Yeah. You know? So, as far as like dealing with your own hunters, what have you seen the most animal, like what class, bow, muzzleloader, rifle? You might already answer this question. What have you seen the most wounded deer out of? Rifle?
Probably archery. Archery, most deer wounded. Most fuck up shooting young deer rifle, you know. I mean, archery, I mean, bow hunters, a serious bow hunter, I mean, they know what shit they're doing, yeah. A lot of them, you know. I mean, everybody wants to now up their game and go buy a Raven and shit like that, and I still won't, you know. I mean, you know, like I said, they can shoot like 90 yards with that shit. And I'm like, no, you can't. You can't here. You know, you can't at home. You know, I just don't go for that. But those guys, they get more time to judge a deer and judge age and stuff and know exactly, you know, hey, that's the deer I'm after or whatever. Rifle guys, you know, it's during the rut, so they're chasing does, and we have met. We screw up, you know. So that's the bow guys don't – the bow guys kill better. I mean, quality, you know. But there's mm-hmm. usually more screw-ups in a rifle season, you know.
Interesting. So, man, I can't – now, y'all have to pack all that shit in there just a few weeks, really.
Yeah. You know?
I bet that is pretty goddamn stressful. Well,
I'm not going to put everybody up in a fucking buddy blind and shit. I mean, I cost more of my hunts, you know. We kill one deer a spot, you know.
Yeah.
If we're going to kill $5 at that spot, and you know, yeah, I mean, I'd love to have that crap, but mm-hmm. it don't make any sense. You know, right. I got trailer blinds and stuff that we move around, and they help a lot, you know. But, you know, we just don't, our deer density in certain areas don't allow us to have big tire blinds everywhere.
Right. So as far as, you know, you get through your deer season, after that, you know, what do you do?
I mean, I just usually call coyotes mostly. I mean, that's what I'm doing.
So you know. When did you get into coyote hunting?
Young age. I had an uncle. I was 9 years old, I think, the first time he took me. Leon hunting. He was took me, and he blew an old tally-ho, watched him calling coyotes, and I just hooked ever since, you know. And then he took me to shoot one, and hell, I missed like first seven of them with him, and it was just fucking miserable, you know. Felt bad for him, and kept chugging me along. And finally, killed one, and I just hooked, you know.
So from there, what was your first rifle you got with the specific use case of predator hunting?
Oh, I had a Remington Sendero.
What caliber?
25/06.
gay.
I love it. I love that round. I mean, that round was so versatile to me. I had one gun. Right. You know, I mean, I carried a. I mean, I shot whatever I could shoot. I mean, I had a 243. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a loaner from people. And that's what I shot my first called in coyote myself with, was with it. But, and I shot it forever. And then when I got enough money, I'll Sendero. Mm-hmm. You know.
Do you, so, I mean, you hunt some contests. You always talk about them gay contests and all that stuff. Why do you like to hunt contests?
Man, I used to like to hunt contests.
Oh.
Now, and I like to hunt. I mean, I love competition. I love it, you know. I used to like to hunt them. You know, safe country and shit, you know, but I don't go. I go to one there at Beaver. The guy puts it on. David Hampton does a hell of a job with it, you know. But it's a fucking weight, you know, three dog stringer shit, you know. So I don't agree with those very much. So I don't go as many that I used to, you know. I mean, there's one or two a year that I'll go to, you know.
So I mean, is it just because you're competitive? You want to hunt in contest?
I do. Or? Yeah, I'm just competitive. I want to hunt contests. I mean, okay. I like to compete. I mean, you know, I mean, that one year, shit, I mean, the money I made, you know, it supplemented quite a bit.
It seems like with a lot of people that like really enjoy contest hunting, I feel like everyone I talk to has had one killer year where they made a lot of money and they're potentially chasing that.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. You know, I mean, I tell you, I don't owe them anything. I'll put it to you that way. I mean, right. The contest. I mean, I'm ahead of the game.
Right.
But now there was a couple of years. There were some years there before when I finally. Now that was when I say that Sendero was the first rifle that I made that I bought. That was when I was young. But when I finally said fuck it, I'm going to buy something and go kill some shit and win. Yeah. I mean, I had a Remington 700. That was in a 22-250, and I chambered it in a 22-243. And tricked it out, new triggers and shit. And I mean, that was the game changer for me. You know, we moved a lot of coyotes, but killing them some bitches, you know, getting educated dogs sitting out there barking at you and stuff, that helped, you know. And that's when I started stacking them up and making some money, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. The guns of predator hunting are the most interesting part for me, I think, because you see, like, people like yourself, more open country. They tend to just hot rod it out, and it almost always seems like they don't mind carrying longer barreled rifles. They don't mind carrying heavier rifles, everything else. They just want something. Everybody, all the predator hunters want laser beams, but laser beam is subjective to actually where you live,
right?
Because like back home, I just need something to shoot 200 yards good,
right?
Like it wasn't even on the radar to shoot further than that. Until I started getting a little bit more country and open stuff. And then I got into a 20-50. When we got out here, I'm just like, oh, I need something that I can shoot even further. You know, that's when I got into Creedmoor and shit. But, you know, y'all's country's mostly open.
Right.
Well, I mean, y'all do have thick shit, but it's like that. It's that picture perfect coyote hunting country that everybody wants to hunt in. Like, wide open shit where you can see your dog run away for years. Right. Like, it's, you know, it's picturesque, and it seems like most people, that's where you see like a lot of screaming demons, long barrels and shit like that. So, you know, I'm assuming you come up using a mouth call and all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
Because you still prefer mouth call over anything else.
I've used e-collar this year more than I probably ever have. I mean, in the last 2 years I've kind of used e-collar, but I mean, shit, dude, the mouth calls, I mean, that's my way to go. I mean, I think everybody should buy a mouth call before they're allowed to buy a fucking e-collar. You know?
Yeah.
You know, and learn to work those coyotes in and stuff, you know. I mean, I'd rather, and anymore, it's getting to a lot of places that I go call, you know, other people call it. They don't blow mouth calls. Right. So I blow mouth calling them so much as, you know, they're not as educated to it.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I've blown, my first coyote call was a fucking goose call. I mean, a crow call that I broke down and open, I'm screwing with one day and open it up. And I'm like, oh shit, it's got an open reed. Looks like my uncle's tally ho. I'm like, hell, so I went to blowing on it. Mm-hmm. You know, and called my first coyote in with it myself, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that's another thing I tend to see a lot more of in the people who have more open country is the fact, like, a lot more of those guys run a lot more mouth calls.
I mean, those guys, I mean, you're right. I mean, But a lot of those guys have been doing it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these city folk, you know, they go to the fucking Bass Pro Shop and see a goddamn call. And they're like, I'm going to go call coyote on my 20-acre deer lease out here. And they're saying, you know, they're coyote killers and they're mailing letters to people and shit. But anyway, it's another deal.
It's another thing I've noticed, again, hunting with tons of different people in wide open country and everything else is, one, they tend to use mouth calls a lot more. Two, a lot of guys in more open countries, it seems as if they call more headwinds than they do crosswinds. Yeah. Which one do you prefer?
I mean, for me, a headwind because, you know, I'm by myself a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's I'm always going to be – I like to really set up with heel behind me, mm-hmm. you know. So I'm going to call. I'm going to call a headwind.
And a lot of times, you know – for the people that are listening to this, a lot of times they're literally coming through the country.
Yeah.
So they've already seen all the landscape. So a headwind is okay in that particular scenario. Now, because you're calling such big, vast open country most of the time, it doesn't matter. When they're coming from in front of you, you're going to see them going for the wind.
Right.
Whereas, like, there are certain places where headwind is just not ideal.
Right. You know,
and that's also if how you're crossing the terrain.
Right.
Like, if, like, a lot of that country y'all have, 100%, like, it's totally fine to do more headwinds. Because, again, you literally can see every nook and cranny.
Right.
Everything you just passed through. Whereas, like, out here, I tend to not, like, even though I'm crossing the land, like, I can still see a lot of shit. So I tend to try and set up more crosswinds in case there was something that I could potentially shoot.
Right.
You know, it's very much dependent upon terrain more than anything.
Well, if I got somebody with me. You know, a crosswind. I never shy away from a stand with a crosswind. Mm-hmm. You know, crosswind. I mean, if that heel's there, and that sun's there, and that coyote's down there, and it's left or right wind, I'm gonna fucking call it. I'm not gonna work my way around and you know. You know, but I mean, it's easier for me to trust my wind when it's blowing at me because any shift, you know, a little bit right or left, you know, when you're on a crosswind. That shit can start blowing down to that draw pretty quick for us in our country, you know. But, I mean,
sure.
If I got somebody hunting downwind, it don't bother me, you know. Mm-hmm. We'll hunt it that way.
What is your favorite mouth call?
You know, right now, I mean, I blow the call that Matt Law makes. You know, he makes these custom calls. And I've blown them for when Matt first started making them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've got them killers, you know, that – and every one of them calls that was a killer. I mean, I stuck with it, you know. I mean, a tally-ho. I mean, I blew a tally-ho for you ever, you know. And then a government trapper, friend of mine, he'd made me one out of deer horn one time. And, god damn, I killed more coyotes with that thing. I mean, the reed was literally floss. That was, not the reed that held the reed on, was just floss that you wrapped around it. I mean, killed more coyotes with that shit and thing, but. Right now, you know, if you look at my lanyard, it's going to have Matt Law's calls on it.
Mm-hmm. So do you just not like e-calls?
It's a pride thing a little bit. You know, I'd rather call that somebody in. I mean, fuck. I mean, you know.
Well, technically, you're still calling in.
You are, but somebody else is. I mean, you're pushing a button. It's a button pusher, you know. I mean, I've killed, like I said, I bet I've ran an e-caller this year more than I ever have, you know. And, but you know how handy is it to walk in with a call right in your pocket?
I can definitely see, going back to like the open country thing where sometimes you may have to park and walk away just because that's the only available place to park.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And definitely like scaling down on your equipment even more.
Right.
It makes it really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think...
Shit. Here we go.
How do I phrase this question? Does it take... Okay, let me just phrase it like this. I got two hunters. One's a mouth calls only, one's e-call only. They both kill the same exact number of coyotes every year. Do you, like, think any less of one or the other? Like,
well, I mean, obviously, I'm not going to think less of the hand call guy.
Are you...
know?
Are you assigning? Are you saying the guy with the mouth call has more skill?
Well, I mean, you're directing the. I mean, I would. Yeah, I'm going to say that because, I mean, I'm sitting there with the call I'm blowing on a call. I don't have that fucking call 30 yards in front of me, directing that coyote away from me where he can't see me. I got to be set up better. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything's gonna be better. You know, I mean, you got to use everything better than you do the e-call guy. You do.
I mean, even though they kill the exact same amount,
I'm going to give the hand call guy more credit. I'm not going to take away from the other guy saying he's a killer or not, because he's still understanding coyotes and know where they're at and which way they're going to come from. You know, but where you put that call, that's probably where that might be where the guy at the hand call's got to sit. You know.
Okay, let me get even further in this. Mouth call guy is calling wide open country. Kills 20 coyotes a year. E-call guy calls all over. Goes from open country to thick country, wherever. Like, he vastly travels more. But he kills like 3 times as many coyotes a year. Uh-huh. Do you still feel as if the mouth call guy is more skilled?
Well, how many fucking coyotes did run off from the e-call guy fucking up? The question ought to be like, which one screws up more coyotes, or which one do you mm-hmm. think, you know? I mean,
well, how many missed opportunities do you have just having the mouth call?
Oh, I mean, I think you do. I mean, yeah, no question.
How many opportunities were missed just running the mouth call and you being the sound source?
Well, I mean, you just got to put the guys out. I mean, you give me if both very knowledgeable about coyotes, one of these guys kind of fucking starting out on 32 on the old roughneck and just give it wide open. I mean, you know, somebody just blaring as many noise as they can.
But he killed more coyotes.
I mean, October and November he did. I don't know. I mean, no.
You goddamn mouth call people. Y'all just will not give it up.
No, I mean, I don't. I mean,
you can just say I hate e-calls.
No, I don't hate it. There is a place for them. They can do a lot of shit that I can't do, you mm-hmm. know? I mean, you know, and I mean, kudos to that and them guys that are coming up with that shit. I mean, you think those guys started out with fucking e-caller? No, they started out with mouth call,
mm-hmm.
you know? Every one of them did.
It's funny that this argument is so funny to me. Because you think of the people who originally like come up with the fucking e-calls or some sort of sound source calls, or the records and what have you, that they're thought of as like grandfathers of fucking predator. Like, think about Johnny Stewart,
sure,
the Burning Brothers and whatnot. They're thought of like as the fucking grandfathers of goddamn predator hunting, mouth call masters and everything else. What do you think them fuckers we're thinking coming out with these electronic calls? And
well, I mean, I bet
they're like, this is way fucking better.
They're probably thinking, hell, I'll still sell these so much, these yuppies, and I'll cash my fucking money to the bank, and I'll go out and kill more cow with my mouth call.
The old schoolers, yes. I believe that they were probably in it for, man, how can I become more effective at this, making my sounds more realistic? But like some of the newer generation people, it probably is more about money than anything.
Well, there's some good guys. There's some good sounds out there, though. I mean, I mean, give it credit. I mean, fuck, I can't call a guy named Coonian. I mean, you know, I've never,
right?
You know, I mean,
hell,
you know,
I've only been around one or two people that can do phenomenal coon sounds, and that's diaphragm calls.
Yeah, you know, and I can't. I don't run diaphragms. You know.
Yeah. So, where do I want to go next with this? How can we like get you to upset more people?
Like, I'm an outfitter, dude. I mean, they're not very well liked.
Oh man, what is your current favorite cartridge for coyote hunting?
Man, my 6 Creedmoor. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's my go-to. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it.
Yeah. As far as optics and everything else, what do you like? Power. I'm not even going to talk about brands. Like, obviously, I feel as if you'd be the same way, man. Just get the best you can afford.
Sure.
But as far as like power range, again, keeping in mind for the people listening that they're primarily hunting open country, and we're talking about your 6 Creedmoor, what type of power ranges do you like? Like a 2 to 10, 2 to 20, 3 to 18s, 5 to 20s? Like, what do you feel the most comfortable at home with?
I think I got like a 2 22 on something like that on my Six Creed right now. You know, yeah. I mean, I like a little bit of power. I mean, you know, this time of year, I mean, this has been different this year. I mean, it's really hard to say. I mean, and the grass is so tall. I mean, right. Used to that Kyle, you see him out there 1,000 yards sitting on his ass side of the hill. I mean, he's still doing it today, but you just ain't seeing him. Yeah. You know, and but it's nice to be able to zoom and kind of reach out there and shoot something, but. You know, I like more of them. I mean, them BB gun scopes that I'm trying to learn how to use a little bit for this cover and stuff. I mean, it's cool. I mean, I'm getting where I like it. You know,
right.
But I like those.
You're liking a lot more in the thick shit.
Sure.
You know, like some of the stuff we was trying to get into when it was windy. Mm-hmm. That's where they excel. But like, yeah, when you get out in that wide open shit, there are some times where I'm like, man.
And on that first, you know. That first guy would have killed that 22 arc. I mean, killed him. He's like 150 yards and sat there for a little bit longer and went to get up. And I turned around behind me, and there's a wheat field and there's a coyote out in the middle of it. You know, and he's fixing to get, you know, fixing to cut me. And I just roll on him in that scope. And I'm like, fuck, that's so much like 350. You know, like I shoot like a foot over his back or whatever. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I look at him again. I'm like, shit, he's like 120 yards. I mean, because that scope, it just looked like he's so damn far out there. And that one, you know, I had it on like 3 power, you know, like, what the hell? You know. And I commenced to let that so much bark.
What power is that scope?
1x6.
1x6?
Yeah.
That's all you got?
Yeah. It's like a fucking BB gun scope. I'm telling you.
Should have got at least a 1.8 on that one.
Yeah.
Maybe a 1.10.
I think 1-10 would be the way to go. I mean, I think I'm going to put a 2 to 20 Zorro on it probably.
I mean, on that particular one,
yeah.
On that short barrel, I'd definitely go with 1-6, 1-8.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, for myself, like LPVOs, I have some LPVOs on some bolt guns, but it's going to be some like short compact shield that I'm going to get in a thick brush with. But like a 1-6, that's super thick country shit for me. Like, I mean, I have, you know, I've killed some cows out 250 with 1-6.
I killed one the other day at 256, and I was like, what the shit? I couldn't believe that.
I was a huge fan of that, you know, a coyote-sized target on, you know, out that distance with a 6 power.
Yeah.
You know, but if you practice with anything, you're going to get efficient at it. Yeah. I mean, you know, 1-8, 1-10 is pretty good territory for these shorter ARs and whatnot, but. You know, that long barrel.
Yeah.
I'd probably go ahead and put something
back. I mean, like, I shot that coyote the other day, and buddy was filming it and dumped him and showed it like 3 or 4 people. They're like, hey, you spied him. I'm like, motherfucker, that's just 1x6 scope. I'm just glad I put one near this bastard.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, I'm just, that dot's covering him. I mean, it's like.
When I first started running the short 2-3 AR for, you know, replace the shotgun, 1-6 on it, and actually. Me and Mr. Fitzgerald was filming the first time I got into some open country with it. Now, again, it's open country, but it's kind of like out here to where not everything's open. Mm-hmm. You just have open spots. And we were getting in on the thick, and, you know, because I wanted to shoot everything up close because we're filming everything else. And this goddamn coyote goes to the only area that you could see really well downrange. Which was, it was probably like right at 250, 220, 250, something like that. Took me a little bit longer to pull off that first shot, but actually when I got home from that trip, I just sit up there and shot the 500-yard rabbit steel until it would just become second nature, and I kind of worked through some of that mental block. Because like I said, you know, I was coming off of, you know, 2-10s, 2-12s, 2-15s, you know, 3-to-whatevers. I had some 5-20. I typically don't go that big on farming rifles, the 5-to-whatever. Like my low power base magnification, I don't like it to be something as high as 5.
Yeah.
On coyote hunting.
Sure.
But I, you know, we just worked through it to where I was a little bit more comfortable, even though, like, the intention is never to put myself in the situation where I need to shoot that far with that particular platform. But it was a huge difference moving from what I was used to, which is shotguns for up close, rifles, normal rifle scope for further away, and right. Plenty of magnification. I think on more open country, like a 3-18 is a really good sweet spot for more open country. Because, you know, sometimes that 18 power would be nice.
Yeah.
Like, We were in, which, by the way, that footage was cool. Because the sun was just right, and you got to watch the bullet trace.
Yeah, I'll bet. Just
fucking dump that match. But anyways, moving on. There's only been one time since running the 110s, 18s. It's only been one time where I really wish I had more magnification, and that was on a bobcat that was barely peeking over a fucking hill at, it's like 200 something yards. And I didn't have a super steady position. It came in from a weird angle, and I had to throw awkwardly over to my side, and I didn't have very steady shooting position. Not that steady, stacked on top of having not having a lot of magnification. Because what I do, I don't know if you do this, but what I do, the more I'm not steady, the higher up I go on magnification. I want to bury my crosshairs so far into their fur that in my wobble zone, I'm not even coming off fur.
Right.
But the more wobbly I am, if I open it up, it's you know.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah, for sure.
But anyways, like, that's been the only time where I'm like, man, I don't know about these 110s, but
I'm not far enough down the road.
Take an extra second and build a good shooting position.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do. Like, but we as predator hunters, and we talked about this earlier, like guiding, sometimes we get a little antsy.
Oh, yeah. You know? We get higher. I mean, like, you know, them contests on shit. I mean, you're literally jogging in, jogging out, you know, I'm very picky on who I hunt with, you know. I'm always been that way, you know, after I got, you know, kind of better at it, you know. And, you know, you can ask the guys that have hunted some contests with me. I mean, I get a little anal about it. I mean, we're going in, going out, and I've thrown a shooting sticker to it, somebody, you know, and shit like that.
I don't know anybody like that.
Gave them shotguns, so you're carrying this fucking thing the rest of the day, no more.
Hell yeah.
but, you know, well, we all learned. I mean, shit. Mm-hmm. Hell, I went through a lot of screw ups.
So, I mean, going back again, what age was you when you first started calling?
Well, nine, like, is the first time I went. But when I first started calling cows, probably 12. 12. When I first started, you know.
Okay, so you've been calling cows since you're 12.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming there's probably been some, probably chasing women, so you might have called a little bit less. But you know, since you're 12, how old are you now?
44.
In those years, what do you think is the greatest advancement in technology or calibers, or your number one thing that stands out that was the closest thing to a game changer
that helped me or in general? I had a lot of coyotes run off from bad shooting and bad guns, you know. I mean, just, and when I first finally broke down and spent some money and took my ass chewing at the house, like, you spent that much money on that thing, and next weekend, you know, pay for it, and then I could have bought 10 more of them, you know.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's when it opened my eyes up to, I mean, it's guns. I mean, it's right. Just accuracy. I mean, just trigger. Trigger is 90% of it. I mean, to me, it was the trigger job, you know, when I finally got a trigger, you know, everything was just easier, you know. Yeah. Killed more running coyotes, killed coyotes I shouldn't have killed, you know. Yeah. Just shit like that. But, I mean, to somebody else, I mean, there's so much shit things now. I mean,
yeah.
Between thermals and
shit. A lot of people, when that question's asked, a lot of people always go to thermal. And I'm just like, you know, because I usually ask it within, like, not just killing more coyotes, like being more effective at calling and killing coyotes. Yeah. Like, it's the all-encompassing question.
Right.
Because there's no doubt that thermal has aided in more people not being able to call as well, but shoot more.
Sure, absolutely. more coyote killers. Yeah.
Because I guarantee you, there's any day of the week as it pertains to nighttime coyote hunting, I would much rather run lights because you have the whole camouflage thing.
Yeah.
But also, like, you have to do that shit right or else you're not going to see the coyotes. Whereas thermal, it's just kind of like, well, I'm a coyote shooter.
Yeah.
Is the way I look at it.
They're snipers. I mean, yeah. I mean, I agree. I mean, I've got a thermal. I've killed coyotes with it this year. But I'm not going to say I'm in love with it, you know. I mean,
right.
I wish they would do away with them, honestly. I mean, you know, I mean, there's so many people that couldn't kill a coyote in the daylight that all of a sudden they're fucking stacking coyotes, and now they're, you know, I'm a coyote killer. Like, what the hell, dude? I mean, you know.
What do you think is harder, Calling counts in daylight or the dark?
Yeah.
I said calling. I know.
I've always been under the impression that nighttime coyotes were way easier, right? But in Oklahoma, we've only had 2 years now, I think, that it's legal to night hunt, and it's for depredation, not recreation.
Right.
So, you know, we're usually on ranches and stuff when we go. I'm kind of on the fence on all of it. You know, I like calling coyotes in the daylight, seeing them. Nighttime, I think you call more coyotes maybe. But I still think you fuck up as many coyotes at night as you do during the day. I mean, if you're doing it wrong, you know.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to name any names, just my brother Cole. He always says that. He says, oh, you don't screw them up as bad at night. You know, and that's what, and I'm like, oh, whatever, Cole.
Cole, I'm going to need some clarification on that. Like, what does that even mean?
We've had this conversation before, and I'm like, yeah, I think you just fuck them up at night. Just it's worse. I mean, you call in five coyotes and four run away because as soon as they switch ends, it's fucking no eyes no more, and they're fucking running off, you know? I mean, so.
I'm going to need some clarification. Cole,
he might have changed his stance on it there lately. I don't know.
I need to understand what makes you
I will say this much. You know, Cole, he didn't cut coyotes like I did growing up, you know? I mean, he was older and hell of a ball player and stuff, so he's all playing basketball and shit. And I was just ate up with hunting. So, I mean, I went all the time. My cousin went all the time. Well, Cole's gotten more into coyote hunting in the past, like, 10 years than he ever has. And he's gone through the bumps and bruises and stuff. He's fucking killing some coyotes now. I mean, like, you know, last weekend they went and caught. I mean, he's putting up some big numbers, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's going through the I made up with the contest deal when I'm getting out of the I made up with the contest deal, you know. So, I mean, but him and his partner, they're pretty efficient, you know.
Yeah,
but the whole nighttime shit. I mean, nighttime's easier to call them. I think, you know. I mean, I do, but I think
I tend to say the same thing.
Yeah, you know. I mean, for what little I've done it, you know.
If we're strictly talking about calling,
yeah.
The opportunity to bring in more cows, it just seems like it's far greater than nighttime. But at the same time, I fall in the same camp as you. Like, you can fuck up either one of them.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You mean I would have. Jesus. And I'm not, you know, I'm just like you. I got my start calling during the daytime. I've hunted a lot at night. I would just much rather call them during daytime, even knowing I can go out and do far greater at nighttime.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Stack up bigger numbers, see more cows, everything else. But, I mean, I will trade. I don't know the exact number, but I will trade, you know, a couple cows for, you know, a dozen if it's a great daytime stand over just nighttime. Come in, kill.
I've never had that great, but at night, you know, we killed, you know, quite a few cats tonight, but I mean, 10 o'clock. I mean, dude, I'm leaning toward the pillow. That's, you know, if I'm up at 10 o'clock, I mean, we've been partaking a little bit on some beers, you know. So that's why I may be up that late. But when we're hunting, you know, 10 o'clock, I mean, I'm going to go sleep, you know. But if I, you know, it's just, I've never been on.
Like a crazy night.
Oh, never been on that, like, you know, fox every stand. Yeah. You know, I've never done that. And yeah, I think I would keep my ass awake to do
it. Oh, there's no doubt about it. Like, some of the fun shit you can do as far from a shooting standpoint is go fox hunting.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also been phenomenal nights at cow hunting. There's been phenomenal nights at cat hunting, you know, all of the above. But there's also, I've had just as slow nights as I have days. Like, but I can tell you right now, just knowing how predators in general like to move, they like to move at lower light. Like, they feel more comfortable in lower light situations. But I can't think of, between the two of them, over the years of hunting, I can't think of, like, you know, any night that trumped any particular day. Because I've had some phenomenal days. Because at the end of the day, it probably comes down to, like, the amount of stands you do on both.
Right.
Like, I've probably, because I've hunted so much during the day and so much during the night, I've probably made the equal amount of stands during the day and I have the night. Yeah. So the chances are much greater that I've had equally just as good.
Mm.
Whereas someone who primarily, probably 75% of the time, hunts at night, you know, 25% during the day, obviously they're probably going to have far greater chance of having a far greater diet.
Sure.
You know?
Well, I mean, everybody knows, like, you know, your last two stands of evening, you know, I mean, that's kind of what everybody goes for. Well, night guys, I mean, that's like, I mean, obviously the nighttime should be better because your last two stands, I mean, so it's good. I mean, it's all night long. It's the good shit.
I'm going to fuck this word up, but I always do crepuscular. Did I say that right this time? Crepuscular? Anybody? Yes? I'm getting a yes and a no. You're very confusing over there.
I need a dictionary. I have no idea what that means.
Well, basically, they like to move during low light. And, you know, cats, I can say this right now. You talk about coyotes. They're just like your dog. They're gonna be lazy at times. They're going to get out and move at times. You know, they're kind of just all over the place. Mm. Whereas cats, like, they like to be pretty goddamn lazy during the day, and they like to get out during the night. But they will move during the day, but they're going to be in, typically, there's someone out there right now listening, like, would I, you know, typically, like, overwhelming majority, they're going to be lazy during the day, moving around at night. Or if they're moving during the day, they're going to be in those deep, dark shadows, you know, staying out of sight. That's how they like to move. Same thing with coyotes, to an extent. You know, everybody's seen those situations where there's like a cat where it shouldn't be, or a cow where it shouldn't be, or whatever. Fox, gray fox, my experience with them, unless you're in some thick, thick country that just, it's overloaded with fox, they're probably, like, your best time hunt them is not. Like, they really like to be straight up being at night. You know, they're den during the day, and that's
Like, we don't, I mean, we can't shoot bobcats at night, but
gay.
Well, I mean, that's why you Texans, you know, you guys have that contest down here, so y'all can night hunt and stuff. We can't, you know.
That's why y'all like to cheat in.
It's yeah, shit.
Oklahoma cheating, right?
Yeah, but no, that you know, the bobcats and stuff. We don't. I mean, I kill cats every year, obviously, but it's nothing like you guys get into. You know, my cousin, me and him called together. He's like 4 or 5 years, 5 or 6 years older than me. He used to come get me all the time. And we call coyotes, shit, I mean, every weekend. And, one day we was calling, and he's like, and I'd killed like 3 or 4 cats that year. And I was older. And he goes, you know, I've never called in a cat. And he's killed hundreds of coyotes, you know. And I'm like, bullshit. Yeah, you've called in cats. And it wasn't an hour later, we see a cat out in the middle of this mowed Bermuda grass. Some hay bales. I said, come on, let's go call that cat. We went over there and called him. And that cat on his belly all the way to just leaking through this and killed him. My cousin looked at me and he goes, I've called in a shitload of cats. I just never have seen the bastards.
Like, a lot of people have.
Yeah.
A lot of people have.
I mean, most of my cats, in our country, when I kill a cat, it's 20 yards. Mm-hmm. I don't see him until he's 20 yards, you know.
It is, you know, I've been hunting down there for a couple of years now, which is not a lot. But when I do go, we tend to hunt quite a bit. So I've made quite a few stands out that direction, I guess you could say. I've literally only ever seen one bobcat, and I killed it. So in some of those places, which we're also never making cat stands, meaning longer stands for the people that may not know what I'm talking about, like never. I think I've, as far as like making actual cat stands, I think I've made like 5 in Oklahoma out of, at this point, Greens or stands, part of me can see why there's not more cats out there. The other part of me is like, man, some of this country going to, this should just be stacked full of cats.
Well, you know, I don't ever make cat stands. I mean, I made like 5 cat stands in my whole life, but I mean, I go to spots like, hey, we could probably call a cat in here, but we're not going to stay 45 fucking minutes to do it, you know. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's that one little place, that one little draw on me, and it was loading cats. We had that fire come through, and I ain't killed a cat in there since.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, and it covers your back and stuff, but it's just killed them. You know, I mean, I found burned up cats and shit.
I'm gonna throw out a random statement that we'll probably have no way of knowing. I think next season you're gonna see a bump of cats.
Based off
of y'all's grass. More grass equals more cover equals more rodents.
Yeah.
More cover equals more rodents, which equals better litters of pups and, you know, kittens.
Right.
So I think next year you're probably going to see more cats. Just random fucking guess.
Yeah.
Just,
Well, I mean, our coyote population, I think, is great. I mean, I think there's lots of coyotes, but I mean, it's tougher. I mean, you got to be set up. I mean, we drove a lot when you were out there. I normally if I want to go, if we're gonna go hunt, I mean, we're going. I drove so much that just trying to find that spot where we could set up and see shit and try to get on, you know, camera and stuff. You know, I waste more time driving now than I ever have.
Yeah, and just because finding that spot where you can see.
Yeah, you know, used to be able to, hey, there's a hill, let's go over it, you know, go around it and set up there. You know, now it's like, yeah, 12-foot sunflower's the bottom of it. You know, you can't see shit.
It is pretty crazy around there this year. Yeah, which maybe it'll also be good for your deer population.
Yeah,
you know, it'll be good for everything. Also, you also got to think of it from this standpoint. Like, there's more cover for everything. There's probably gonna be less cats getting shot. There's gonna be probably less coyotes getting shot.
Right.
There's probably way more coyotes getting the wind on people this year than they ever have.
Oh shit.
Since the last time y'all had good grass or good weeds, whatever you want to call it. So as far as goddamn, I had a good question a while ago. That was probably gonna be controversial, but now
you're trying it.
Damn right. Where's that? I mean, if you traveled much around amongst the states, any and all, to coyote hunt, like, what's your favorite place to coyote hunt?
You know, I mean, I've hunted Texas, obviously, New Mexico, hunted there, Kansas, Oklahoma. You know, those are my guys right there. I mean, that's where I've been. You know, I've probably killed, you know, I mean, Oklahoma. I mean, you know, a lot of my country, I'm right there. You know, I mean, it's Kansas is there and Oklahoma's there.
It's also great.
Fucking Texas is
great
there.
Coyote hunting.
Yeah, country. You know. So I mean, you know, I mean, one of the best places I've ever called was in New Mexico. I mean, it was, you know, it's just phenomenal. I never had a touch. It's just virgin shit. I mean, it just, you know, there's dead shit. I mean, it was great. You know, but I mean, I have to go. I'm gonna stick with home. I mean, I know my shit. I know where I'm at. You know, I know my country but I want to go. I want to go and hit some places. You know, I hunted a ranch around Snyder, Texas. That was very fucking good. I mean, hunted. It rained all day, and I still hunted all day. I had that day to hunt, you know, and it was just muddy mess. But we hunted, you know, and then it got nighttime, and I was asleep at 11 o'clock. You know, like, piss on this, cold. Killed, you know, still killed like 16 coyotes, you know, in the rain, you know.
Yeah,
but just a steady rain. It wasn't like downpour. But and that was a pretty badass place.
Yeah.
But I'm just gonna go with home. I got some little ranches there that I've lost some good shit too that in the last couple of years it's, you know, I mean, I can still hunt it, but so can everybody else. That's good.
Yeah, yeah, you like these contests so much. That's why you're losing so much land nowadays. No, just shit. Saying.
Yeah. I like contests and I just don't like the stringer deals. I mean, I think it's fucking, and I can see why they do it. Yeah. I mean, there's no question why they do it. It gets more people get a chance and stuff, and you know, just make it a side bet, you know? Just make the stringer deal a side bet, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely changed a lot. Yeah. It does seem like, most of the time nowadays that the most of is side fights, whereas the white shit's taking over.
And that's because of the Texas deal. I mean, that big cat deal, I mean, that was like, there wasn't any stringer weights, I don't think, until that deal kind of came along.
Mm-hmm.
And then people kind of started seeing that, all right, man, look, they're getting all these teams because you can kill one animal, you know, and hell, let's just make it a three stringer in Oklahoma and we get more teams. And then, so that's what I mean. And I get it. You know, a lot of our stuff anymore is fundraisers. It used to be Elk City. Woodward had a good contest. You know, those two right there were big. I mean, you know, you have 150, 200 teams and it was, well, I killed more than you, motherfucker. I win, you know? And, but now every weekend there's four going on out there. So they're trying to draw in for their 4-H club or their, you know, summer baseball program and stuff. And, you know, I mean, hell, I support, like, hell, that Wanted Beaver. I like it. He does a great job. I had a lot of teams, you know, and it's a stringer deal. That's what he started out with. And it's for a good thing there. It's for the shooting sports club, you know. So, and he does a hell of a job. His, you know, door prizes and shit, unreal what he does. And, I mean, him argue about it. I mean, I give him shit about it, you know, being a stringer deal. But I get it, you know.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, I'm not the kind of guy that drags in 12 coyotes and another guy drags in three and he wins and I take it good. I mean, I'm sorry. I killed one, you fucking did, I win. You know, I mean, it's like if I'm playing basketball, I score more points, I win, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just, it's hard for me to swallow. Yeah, you know, I spent a lot of years learn how to kill coyotes and get beat by somebody that gets lucky and kills three coyotes and they just outweigh my three.
Right.
You know.
Maybe you should just be better at killing bigger coyotes, Dane. You
yeah. About that? Yeah, no shit. Yeah. what I put on that a while back. Any number hunts, because I'm just a pup killer. I need to. I can't win the stringer. But there's some that's came up with, like, you know, they're doing like seven, at least like seven dog stringer. That's not bad. You know, yeah. the lower number is like, you know, that's pretty tough to
right.
to swallow, you know. I mean, just think if you, which I don't think anybody does it, but I mean, go to the rancher and say, rancher calls, how many coyotes killed me today? Well, I only killed three. I only needed three. You know, I let like nine of them go because they weren't fucking big enough. You know, it's not a bass fishing tournament. I mean, right. my safety goes off. I can't throw him back, you know.
So. Yeah, true. I have one more question. We're going to wrap this up.
Mm-hmm.
What is smarter?
You can ask me that.
I would feel like... You know, it's tough to ask this question to just anybody because most people just have kind of one thing they do, whatever.
Right.
To me, when you ask the right people, people who do both, it's the best people to ask.
Right.
Whitetail? We're not even going to talk about mule deer because they're retarded. Whitetail or coyote? And you could assign whatever you want to it. Like, it could be a... 4-year-old coyote, 5-year-old coyote, 6-year-old coyote, 6-year-old buck, whatever you want to assign to it. Give it your best shot on whatever you think the most mature, smartest animal of those species are outside of their breeding season. What is smarter?
No.
Goddamn coyote or whitetail?
Well, I feel like I've gotten pretty efficient at killing my target whitetails, right? As far as if I find a deer, we're going to kill him, you know, 95% of the time, you know. So, but I've had some coyotes that I need to kill that son of a bitch, and he'd kick my ass. So I'm going to have to go coyote is. I mean, a coyote is fucking smarter, you know. I mean, if you're a killer, if you're just going to go out and go kill something, you know, I mean,
Listen.
If you just want to kill one coyote or that one
you
deer.
You don't have to make the deer hunters feel better.
I know. But if you try to kill that one deer, that one deer is smarter than all them other coyotes, that one deer. But the coyote deal, I mean, I have to say, I mean, killing a 2-year-old coyote is a hell of a lot easier than killing a fucking 6-year-old deer. But killing that...
Even during rut?
In our country, yeah. Because, fuck, I mean, you got one wheat field and they're all going to be on it or something. Yeah. It's just... You're gonna find him, but a coyote is smarter. I'm gonna say a coyote is smarter.
Well, you're just being completely honest with
it. It is, because I mean, it really is. I mean, I've had my ass kicked by more coyotes that I've tried to. I'm like, man, I need to kill a coyote out here. I mean, I got, you know, I need to kill that coyote, and right. he's kicked my ass more than that one deer. You know, I've always every target buck I've ever hunted, I think I've killed, really, honestly. And then I put some guys on some pretty.
I mean, what
exceptional deer every year?
What is like? What's the? Do you have any? Crazy stories about something you witnessed a coyote doing that made you think, like, these some bitches are smart.
Oh, I mean, y'all just, I mean, I think the first time that I had a coyote kind of come around a sand hill and just get my wind before I could do anything, and he didn't spin and leave. He just spun, laid down, crawled through the, I mean, there's some grass. He was on his belly just trying to get the fuck out of there, you know. But mm-hmm. he knew if he stood up and was gone, I mean, I'm going to send it to him. He just sleeking through there on his belly, you know.
So, well, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen a whitetail do that?
Oh, yeah.
Or they just fucking leave?
No, I've seen majority of the big whitetail bucks when you're driving along. If you're driving down a county road and there's a big whitetail deer there, I've seen many of them just feet fall off and just lay down.
Yeah, but then do they, like, crawl off on their belly? No, they didn't.
They didn't, but they did. They didn't just...
They were just like, oh, truck, oh.
Didn't act like a 2-year-old and throw their tail up and take off running, you know? I mean, I've seen a lot of deer just disappear. Like, where the fuck he just go? There's nowhere he could went, and you get to looking, and then you can find him, you know?
Yeah, because fucking too stupid to leave.
But, I mean, a coyote, I mean, I'm going to agree with you, a coyote is smarter. But there is some smart-ass deer, too, you know? I mean, there are some deer that are...
Smart.
Fucking tough.
Okay, hang on. Whoa. Let's make smart or they're just
outsmarted.
Savvy.
They're outsmarted me. Yeah. Like, yeah.
They just, their senses yeah. saved them.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, probably.
Have you ever savvy. Witnessed a whitetail do anything other than basic instincts tell them to do things?
Well, we have had one whitetail that I will say this, that every day we didn't hunt him, he was killable. And every day we hunted him, he wasn't killable. We're like, what shit? You know, I mean, he was got to be killable. And finally, the last day we had to hunt him, and we hunted this deer during like 9 days of muzzleloader season, all the rifles, the last day. And I told the guy, hey, we're not going to the blind. You know, something's going on here. We backed way out, and that deer was, he was coming up his little old cut, just like a coyote will work. You know, low spot, little finger, a little draw. You never could see him, and he would get, and he would check that blind. He'd always check it. And we killed him in between the blind. And he was checking that some bitch. I mean, he was, yeah. he knew it was up. I mean, you yeah. know, and this guy ran like three Ozonics in there. Every window, I mean, was fucking up. I mean, he was all about it, you know. I mean, he literally, I mean, that deer, he lived and breathed that deer. I mean, it right. was, I mean, it, that deer kicked everybody's ass.
I do. But, I do feel. I mean, even though deer are retarded, I do feel as if there's gonna be a, there's gonna be like a, just like canines, dog, yeah. You know, domestic
sure,
dogs.
Absolutely.
Some domestic dogs are just freaking stupid.
Yeah.
But all every once in a while, you'll see somebody that's got a very special dog that could just do the wildest shit.
Right.
Or insert whatever animal.
Right.
I do feel as if it doesn't matter the species. There's always going to be something that's like highly intelligent for some reason, like actually shows some sort of intelligence. But as a whole, I feel as if deer, whitetail in particular, because again, you know, deer are retarded. Whitetail in particular, they just, they're really good at it in instinctually sure. existing.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, as the one might get older, there is probably going to be some sort of learning happening.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas coyotes, 100%, them some bitches are getting smarter every fucking day of their life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, no question.
I've witnessed coyotes do things that required some sort of thought process. It wasn't just like a... Because when you really start breaking this shit down, like a lot of stuff that people claim deer do that is smart, it's just basic instincts.
Mm-hmm.
It's like survivability instincts. Whereas coyotes, I have literally witnessed them possess the ability to, like, there was some thought that went into this process for him to be able to figure this shit out. Like, to know that these coyotes, they're hunting together as a pack. These coyotes come down here and flush them some bitches to the waiting coyotes down here. Right. Or the fact that coyotes hunt with badgers or insert whatever.
Right.
It happens far more often with anything that's in the canine family than as opposed to the whitetail. But anyways, that's kind of just, you know, me really pissing off the deer hunters. Because I've said all of this shit many times. But I love asking people that question. Because typically, it's not very often. I get way more one or the other in here. Right. Like way more people that are either whitetail hunters or coyote right. hunters. It's not very often I get more people like myself and yourself like that hunt both species right. a lot. And they're spending a lot of time out there. They can actually fully appreciate each one of the species, right. you know. And yeah, you know, like I said, I still think whitetail are stupid. They're just like the older ones have been around longer. They're slight amount smarter than the dumb ones.
Right.
They're building up this repertoire of good survivability instincts or whatever you want to call it. But anyways, that's, you know, that probably triggered a few people.
Well,
so anything else that we need to cover?
I'm just here answering questions, man.
Are you already booked up for this year?
I'm booked up. There's going to be some changes. I mean, there's a few things we're going to change a little bit. I might have a few guys not come. You know, they might not like my changes, but we're going to do some things different. So, yeah.
What is the best way to get a hold of you? Do you have an email, Facebook, all that stuff? Like, what would you...
I mean, it's all Facebook. It's all Legends of the Cimarron Outfitters Loco. I mean, it's mm-hmm. and that's how people get a hold of me there.
Best way to do it is yeah. just go through the messenger on
or
Facebook.
Dane Drake. Go to. I mean, go yeah. to my page. I mean, I'll get it faster. You know.
Do you keep a just a running list of people who call and say, hey, if you have a cancellation, call me.
Yeah, so I tried my best.
Is it better for them just like put my name on list?
Yeah. A lot of them, you know, a lot of guys want to ask a lot of questions. A lot of tire kickers and stuff. But
oh, yeah.
But, you know, them guys, you can tell, I mean, in 2 minutes of conversation, if this guy will come or not, you know. So, yeah, I mean, we'll put them on the list.
And once again, you only allow 308?
Yeah. Only thing I don't allow. You can bring your 22 250 or 243. I don't give a shit. Leave the 308 at home.
Oh, that's going to kiss my hate.
I like this image. We were shooting targets the other day with some guys that are hog hunting. And he's trying to shoot into a 900-yard target out there at the ranch. And he sends
You're just it. Like, give it up.
He sends it. Bitch. He sends it. He immediately looks around at me and he goes, hey, man, where'd it hit? And I said, I don't know. I ain't got there yet. You know?
Also true. Well, we appreciate you coming out, getting on. Again, Legends of the Cimarron.
Yep.
Or Loco.
Yep.
It's easy to remember the Loco part.
Sure.
Legends of... Is it of the or
of, just yeah. of the Cimarron.
Legends of the Cimarron on YouTube. Facebook. Just reach out and get a hold of him. They kill some fucking monster whitetails every year. Mm-hmm. You've been on... before we go, you've been on... you've had several TV people hunt with you. So, I mean, you've if you watch the gay ass deer hunt shit, you've probably seen like.
Right. Oh, Jackie Bushman show and stuff like that. Jackie and then McCorder Custom Rifle, Precision Hunter is what I did. I think. Mm-hmm. Alan Robick and his wife Denise Lee.
At some point, we'll get on here and talk about the TV people. But, anyways, I appreciate you coming, Dane. Be sure and go check out allammunition.com, or if you're middling, go by Al Outdoors. We'll see you guys next time.